Hello, Kira Dyer here. Welcome to Loving an Addict. This podcast with my husband, Duff, is inspired by a great loss, our daughter, Emma, who passed away from an accidental overdose. Our desire is to spread awareness, love, and hope, to also help those who are striving to love the addict in their lives, because we know that that person is so much more than just an addict. So today we're kind of doing a little catch up of where we are personally, a little background on our other girls. And I have to clarify a few things, okay? The first thing is we're talking about sweatshirts and the writing on my shirt being backwards. Well, I didn't realize it's only when I was recording it, it's backwards. So you guys get the non-backwards view when it's all said and done. So I'll just put that out there so that people aren't so confused. And the other thing was my hand. Unintentionally, a little too high. I don't know what else to say, but that you're going to want to listen to the whole thing because it's worth some really good laughs. So there's that. The other thing was this was recorded about 10 days before it was a year for Emma, the anniversary of her passing. We touched on it just a little bit. And I do have to say it was much, much, much harder than I thought it was going to be. I think there's a couple things that play into that, at least in my view of things. I feel like, because there were a few days leading up to that day that just felt incredibly heavy, because not only did I have the memory of calling 911, getting the MRI results, taking her off life support, all of these things that were really, really heavy and gut-punching. As that kind of led up to that, I was just trying to remember, what was the day, the month that we took her off life support? Just trying to, in my head, place where stuff had happened. And just going through all of that and seeing the same blossoms in the trees, seeing the same, basically the same temperature, the same smells, like just so many similar things. It's like my body was just reliving those moments, and not just in a mental state, but the physical as well. So I think just physically and mentally and emotionally, it just took me back there. So I did have multiple meltdowns, one of which included me throwing stuff here in the office. I was trying to make another list of all the hard things so I could burn it and I could be done with that. But I could not stop crying. It was just so heavy. And then I became mad, and I hadn't done this last year, but I was throwing, we've got shoe boxes from shoes that Duff won at work and old golf clubs and these folding chairs for the podcast and cups full of pens and papers. I was literally just throwing anything I could find. And there was relief in that for sure. But at the same time, there was a moment where I was like, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing this? Why am I acting this way? And I was able to call Duff at work, which I rarely do. He knows to pick up because it's something that's important. And I just cried and cried and cried. Like, it was hard to pull myself together. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Why is this happening? And he assured me, nothing is wrong with you. This is just the way you're processing, and it's okay. And he's like, I'm coming home. I was like, oh, but you have the meeting with all your reps. And he's like, it doesn't matter. I'm coming home. And he came home to be with me. And it was really beautiful. We got to spend the rest of the day together. And those breakdowns happened at different times for each of us, which I'm grateful for, because we were there for each other whenever we needed it. And so the day of her passing, the year mark, Anna and Lily came home, which was beautiful and a really great distraction to spend time with them and do things with them. I wanted to put the homeless kits together, which I did, and that felt really good, and hand out flowers to just random people, just kind of a random act of kindness, I guess, because I knew to serve and to do things outside of yourself would help me. But at the same time, it was also really heavy because you're seeing people in sad situations who are in a desperate state. But it did make me think of Emma and knew that she would be happy because she was really passionate about helping homeless people. And I do have to share that my perspective as far as the homeless have changed over the years. Before Emma was an addict, I would look at these people who were panhandling on the corner and I would think, get a job. You're a loser. This is a waste of time. And because Emma was homeless, basically couch surfing. Sometimes she was in her car for a couple days at a time or in a park for a couple days at a time. So not a long extended period, but regardless, her addiction took her there. So now, because of that knowledge, I'm able to look at that person who's homeless and think, this is somebody's kid. This is somebody's son or daughter. This is somebody's brother or sister. And that has really helped me have more compassion towards the homeless population. Because as years have gone by, I know that that situation that has put them there is either addiction or mental illness. It's not something they're choosing. This is not a place where they want to be. So I've definitely learned that from Emma. And from her experiences. And I'm grateful for that because more compassion is always a good thing. I just thought it would be beneficial to tell what we did and how the first year anniversary went because I think it's a good reminder that there is no right or wrong way to grieve. Everyone has their own path, and some people might just want to crawl in a hole that whole day. And that is very, very tempting to kind of zone out completely. And again, there's no right or wrong way to grieve as long as you're not hurting yourself or other people. So I just thought it would be helpful to those who are grieving to hear of other ways that honor their loved one on that day. Anyway, so this is just a catch up, and hopefully you'll learn from some of the things that we share, a few things that we've learned over the years, and just a little insight. So enjoy. Hi. You look pretty in pink.
Oh, this is my Sunrun sweatshirt for breast
We.
cancer awareness.
Oh, I thought that was October.
Yeah, but I like pink, so.
You do look good in pink.
What does yours say?
Eel to eyes.
I said, yeah, that's exactly what it says. Like your eel to as a sweatshirt, Kira. We're back.
We're back.
We're back. How was your week?
My week was good, non-eventful. How about yours?
So good. Yeah, it's great. Oh, here we are.
Good.
Okay, we don't have a special guest today, so what are we gonna do then?
Well,
What was our idea today?
we are coming up on a year since Emma passed away, which, how do you feel about that?
It's been interesting. I've been reading, like I write in my journal weekly usually, and
You got bear on ya.
it's been interesting to you got it's little yes on you. It's been really bizarre to read what I was writing a year ago. Well, one week it was probably first part of February or middle part. I was writing about how good I thought she was doing, and unbeknownst to us, she'd had that spiritual reckoning, I guess.
Well, she told us about
Yeah,
that
but
day.
I think that came after what I wrote.
Oh.
And then it was a week later we were at the ER because she had used the fentanyl. So it's surreal to look back and know that it's already been a year.
Yeah, I wonder when it's going to stop being weird.
I think it'll always be weird.
Don't you think that's the most common word we've used this last is
Strange,
like,
bizarre,
what?
surreal.
It just feels so not real
Yeah.
still. I think that, at least in my experience, it seems like that's where you stay the longest. You know how there's all these stages of grief, and one of them being denial. And not like we're in denial, but our bodies don't think it's real. Our brains, our
Are still
hearts.
trying to believe all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. It is difficult to like really fully 100% believe that we went through what we went through and what happened happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you were telling me the other night, after mom passed away, it was that way for, like, it's still weird,
Your mom, yeah.
you know, that mom passed 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
Well, then it became, wait, was she a part of our lives after year after year after year? It was like, was she even real?
Yeah.
Did we dream her? Because it just feels like it's been so long, way longer than 10 years.
Yeah. Anyway,
So.
so what was our idea for today?
Well, I was thinking because this whole time I've said at the beginning of every podcast, I've said, because we know that that person is so much more than an addict. We thought, why don't we talk about Emma not as an addict?
Right.
Like, I think it would be good to talk about who she was.
Yeah, because obviously everybody is so much more than their addiction.
Yeah. And then as I was kind of writing notes, I was thinking, it does get a little bit tricky because, for example, I wrote down that she was a giver. And I feel like some of that came from her addiction in that you become more empathetic, not just sympathetic. You become more empathetic because you're like, I know that pain.
You're speaking of people who suffer with addictions
Right.
become that way about almost everybody in life,
Right. I
not
think,
just other addicts,
yeah,
right?
that's
Like she was
true.
very empathetic towards homeless people.
Correct.
She was very empathetic towards those that were kind of ostracized or felt
Kind of on the
alone,
outskirts in many
yeah, or
ways.
not
Yeah.
included.
She did a lot of childcare for special needs kids, and she was really good at it. And she would even say, I know I'm good at this. I know I have a talent, but this is really hard. But she kept doing it. She had several families that she helped care for their children. And one particular family had three special needs children
Yeah.
and a grandma that actually was really quite old. And she would watch all four of those people at once. And
Didn't she have to wipe her butt once?
the grandma, oh, bless her. Bless her.
Bless that
Like,
grandma's butt. Gross.
no, bless Emma for. I mean,
She'd come home exhausted and be like,
she
ugh,
did.
but would go back the next day. And when she was with people that she cared about and loved, she gave everything she had,
Yeah,
you know.
she did. And when you spoke of the homeless, I wrote down that actually we were left with piles and piles and piles after she passed away. Of clothes that she had collected from friends to be able to personally give to the homeless. She didn't want to just give it to an organization. She literally would take Duff and I, because we didn't want her to go by herself, but
Yeah, we would drive her down just to make sure she was safe.
Sacramento, yeah.
Yeah.
And she'd make little hygiene kits. Also, it'd have some of the few essentials. And then she would put together, oh, this is for a lady, this is for a man. And most of the clothes she collected were for women. And she'd be like, do you have a woman here that might need this? And they were very grateful. So that was one of her
Were
passions.
you with us that day where she and I drove down to a homeless camp, parked the car, got out, and literally walked around and knocked on the doors of the tents?
You went with her and I stayed in the car.
Oh, that's right. And that was really sobering, humbling, and a little scary because you don't know who's in there and what's going on and the lives that they're living. And I just remember how almost stunned they were when we said, hey, you know, do you need these jackets, these sleeping bags, these hygiene kits? And at first, they were almost a little bit like, oh, wait a minute, this might be a trick. And that was such an interesting experience that was all her idea. It was all her efforts.
Yeah, she put it all together.
Okay. So today is good memories and tips and helpful ideas and things in regards to loving your addict in your life, whether it's a child, whether it's a sibling, parent, best friend.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, but.
And it kind of carries over to everybody, don't you think?
Sure does.
Isn't that the true sign of being a good person or someone who is following Christ? Someone who really wants to be a good person. It's someone who knows how to be empathetic and knows how to not just brush it off, but you know.
How to have like authentic charity towards others, because charity obviously is the pure love of Christ and it embodies so many different actions and thoughts and feelings. Well, it's not just being kind.
Right.
It's putting yourself a second, and it's having the empathy that people hunger and thirst and crave for.
Well, what have we learned as parents and, well, as people, is people want love and grace. Mm-hmm. That those are the two things people want the most and crave the most.
Unconditional love.
And how, I know we said more than once that brought people into our lives who that's kind of what they were missing.
Yeah.
That those are the elements that were missing in their lives, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, but more about Emma. It's no secret, if you knew Emma at all, that she had an amazing voice, a naturally gifted voice. She had a few lessons, is all, like when she was a teenager. But for the most part, it was really a natural, beautiful gift of being able to sing. And then she taught herself how to play the piano. She could hear by ear. She was able
Wait,
to...
Wait, she could hear with her ear?
What is that word?
She could like see by play, ear, Kira.
Play by ear.
I eat with my stomach, but I don't play with my ear.
I'm an idiot. No, she...
No one talks about my wife like that. Take it back.
I can, myself. She played by ear. That makes more sense.
She did. Violin, too.
So, yeah, the story. When she was about 10 or 11, she came on, listen to this. And she had been in a play with our church, a religious play about the Savior. And they play the same song over and over when you're practicing, of course. And she came to me and she's, Mom, listen to this. And she plays the theme song to this play that she had been in for several months. And I'm like, where did you get the music? She's, oh, no, I just remembered it and played it. What? You play by ear? I had no idea until then, until she was like 10 or 11.
No wonder she loved Elton John so much.
Exactly. She did have, you know what came with that, what I was thinking that was interesting?
What?
Is I feel like people who know how to sing are able to do imitations better, right? They can imitate people's voices. Mm-hmm. So she would say things like in a funny voice. She could do like a New Jersey accent really good. And she did a couple TikToks with that accent that were really funny. I wish I had access to those, but I do not.
Well, she did hear by ear, though.
No. So when she was a young teenager, I don't know if, how many of you guys remember Miranda Sings. She's this funny actress singer that would have an alter ego, and her alter ego could not sing and spoke really silly. I don't even know if I can do one. Like, I would embarrass myself to even...
You've been able to imitate it a few times. Go for it.
I'm trying to remember.
We've been telling everybody to be authentic. We need Kara to be authentic. Am I right? And the one, and the two.
I'm trying to think of something she said all the time. It'd be like, can you think of?
I'm drawing blanks.
Like a phrase.
I can't do
all
it.
This nonsense
I can't.
Out.
I can't do it. Quetchin. Remember, she used to make up weird.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a Quetchin. You know. So anyway, so then her and her sister Bella, the one right below her, would talk to each other like this.
Shout out Bella, hilarious kid. But they would literally have normal conversations in that voice.
Oh,
and then they would take it.
Laugh.
And then they would throw in some pretty.
Like their own.
Yeah.
And take on it.
We could just sit and listen to them, especially like car rides.
So funny.
It was fun to listen to them do that.
So if Bella started to date someone or whatever, would be like, have they heard your Miranda voice? You know, she's, no, that's so embarrassing. This is Bella. And
remember, it was like, meh, meh.
That was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was just really ridiculous things, but she had quite a following for a long time, and so the girls were really into her.
We took them to a concert once.
We did.
And dropped them off.
Oh my gosh.
We were like, go have fun with Miranda.
Oh my gosh. So good.
Yeah.
So they had their own little language, and then Emma made up her own words that were kind of Miranda, but not. It was like Emma Bella language.
Like
and it
Christian
was like,
mingle?
And Betjol. And, you know, it was like a special was Betjol. And mm-hmm. I don't know, all these other phrases that aren't coming to my mind right now. But she was really good at that. And so she was really funny. Don't you think?
Hilarious.
Emma was so funny.
Hilarious.
Like, she has your wit, where she was just really quick with remembering to put things together. And she would have me laughing all the time.
Yeah, she had an ability to hear something from before and weeks or months later say it in a way that
was funny,
was somehow humorous, and it hadn't been brought up for months.
Which she absolutely got from you because
Well.
you have something right there. He is good at that. It could be an inside joke. It could be something that happened to us as a family or an individual months and months ago, but he'll bring it back up as a part of a joke. You know who else does that? Is Dalton,
My
our
son?
son-in-law, our son.
Hey, shout out Dalton.
Yeah, he'll do that too. He'll like and
He's a
he'll
smart
like
boy.
slide it in, you know.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, you're
Hey, you're smart and
listening.
funny. Okay.
He's darling. Emma loved gossip. And
T.
she would, yes, she would be
T.
like, tea?
Didn't
And
matter
she'd
what it
sit
was.
down. I'd be like, Emma, did you hear about? She goes, and she'd go sit down and she'd go, tea? And she'd be like so excited. And you know what? I had her memory actually of her wanting to always get the gossip and talk about it. And we'd talk about how ridiculous, whatever it is. And I remember bringing somebody up and saying, can you believe that? Or whatever it is, right? And she said to me, you know what? If I could guess, this was probably about 5 to 6 months before she passed away.
Okay.
Maybe even less. Maybe even within a couple months.
I don't know if you're right or you're wrong because I don't know what you're going to
'cause you
say.
weren't there. Yeah, you weren't there. It was just her and I in the kitchen and maybe Sophie. And I remember we were being mean. We were probably being mean and talking about somebody in not a nice light. I'm sure none of you guys ever do that. Nobody ever talks about
That's a
anybody.
shameful thing to tell people.
Yeah, it is a shameful thing.
We know you all do it too. All right. We're all trying to get better.
Yes, exactly. And she was like,
Where's your hand right now?
she.
Oh, it's going in. Oh, it's going in. We're being real. This is real. That better be on the blooper reel for sure. Because all of a sudden I'm like, what's happening right now? Anyway. Anyway, this is good. This is what we hope to share is that even though we've had a, gosh, a decade of ups and downs and really the last couple of years of really hard stuff, there have been plenty of times of laughter and plenty of times of silly and plenty of times of focusing on joy and things that are happy and joyful and fun, right? And like as serious as this is, it's not all horrible. It's not all awful and end of the world,
Every
you know?
moment.
So, anyway, you were going to say.
Well, on that same note, before I go back to that story, I remember laughing on the way to the hospital. You and I got the giggles over who even knows what it was, but we looked at each other and we're like,
Why, how could we be
how are we
laughing?
giggling? Like, how are it just, it was almost like a little reprieve. It was like just this tiny little prick of, okay, there, you just need a little reprieve. Laughter is so good. And
Yeah. Here we are, 7 minutes later, finally getting to.
to my point. Okay, I don't remember exactly her words, but she said to me basically, oh, that's a wonderful person, or I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to be more Christ-like. I'm trying to not be as judgmental. And I was like, that's so good. That's so good. We all need that reminder. It's so
But anyway, we're still going to talk
easy.
about this person. After that, we'll get better.
You know, it's just so easy to be like, I can't believe this person did this to me or to someone else we know or whatever. But I was thinking about that the other day, and I'm like, that really showed where she was trying to improve and she was trying to be like a better person. And I don't know. I hope I never forget that moment.
Some of what we want to share today is also helpful things that families and especially parents can do. We always talk about how actions have more impact than words. And sometimes words and actions together can be very impactful. And so I would, every couple months, I would leave her a voice text. And it was just, hey, this is your dad. I love you. No matter what, please never forget. And maybe I would sing a quick little song or retell a joke just to constantly remind her of how I really felt, no matter what was happening in her life. Or even notes. Emma loved leaving notes for others. Our kids have always had like whiteboards in their rooms, and I would go in and write little messages again, that's an action that also includes words. It was my way of saying, hey, regardless of what's going on, you're mine. And I'm proud that you're mine. And that no matter what, I love this, the dickens out of you, kid. Right?
Yeah, you were good at that.
And you were really good about your actions showing your love for her. You were really good about that. Sometimes it's hard to separate the addictive behavior from the person themselves. And another idea is to remember them as like little children. Because I joke about this a lot, how adults are basically just big kids that are mature enough now to make money. But we're all basically children. And I think sometimes we forget that. And it's helpful to go back and remember her when she was just a little girl and innocent and everything was fun and exciting and magical. Because that's who she was. That's who they are.
It's also painful for me.
I'm sorry. I know. It's hard. But when that person in your life is struggling, it's the perfect time to remove the addictive behavior and focus on that inner child, like who they really are.
Yeah.
And who God made them. And when people are small and young and childlike, and there's just so much innocence and beauty and wholesomeness. Yeah. And that's really who we are. Like, that's who we are at our core.
Right, before we're broken down by life a little bit.
And everyone eventually becomes somewhat fractured or broken. Everybody.
Yeah.
Can I share something that I learned?
Sure.
So the very first time it was brought to our attention that she was having some very tremendous addictive struggles in high school, we did not react the right way. And just being authentic, we reacted in a way that I think most... I know how my parents reacted when, you know, I was a knucklehead. But as time went on, I feel like we learned through mistakes how to react when she would have her setbacks, to learn how to just listen and process and contemplate before responding or reacting. We eventually got really good at that.
I saw a really cool thing online about that.
What is it?
Where this lady... she's an adult, but she said, I remember washing these really important plates that were from like a great grandma or whatever in the kitchen. And she ended up dropping them somehow and breaking them. And she hears her mom in the other room, I love you more than the plates. And she was really good at that.
Oh, that's
she's
amazing.
Like, I love you more than the failed test. I love you more than this setback. I love you more than... Isn't that so good?
Yeah, who's that lady? I want her to be my grandma.
I know.
And I have a specific example. We invited her to a 4th of July get-together at a friend's house. And I basically said, look, I really want you to come. But if you're using... please don't. I'm inviting you to come sober if you can make that happen. And I could tell that she tried really hard to show up sober. And she showed up, and we had all these games and food, and it was kind of fun. And right before we all decided to get in our cars and go watch fireworks as it got dark, she pulled me aside and she said, hey, can I talk to you about what's going on and just kind of fill you in on where I'm at? And because we didn't know where she was staying. We didn't know who she was living with. And this is, gosh, probably 4 years ago. She starts to kind of tell me, well, I'm staying with so-and-so and looking for a job. And I was like, okay, great. Do you need anything from us? Whatever. And I said, so how are you with everything? And she said, well, I started using meth. And then right after she said that, she kind of grabbed me and she said, but don't worry, Dad, because I'm just smoking it. I'm not injecting it. And it's a big difference. Now, I don't know how I would have responded to that if that would have been the first time that she came to us, but we had been through a number of setbacks. And I remember telling myself, listen, right? Be patient, ponder it before you decide what to say to her.
Yeah.
And I remember inside thinking, are you nuts?
Right. Like just mind blowing.
Like, kind of. How do you think that you telling your dad, hey, I'm now using meth, But it's not the worst kind of meth that I would react like, oh, okay, I feel good.
Yeah.
Right? Like in my head, because we had kind of been forced to learn how to do this. It didn't matter what I was thinking and feeling. I just remember saying back to her, okay, that worries me a lot, but I'm glad that you shared that with me. And as much as you want to maybe minimize the way you're using it, I'm still really, really scared for you. That really concerns me, but I'm just so grateful that you were able to at least share that with me. And that was kind of it. And then hug her, and as we kind of part, I'm just like, I could feel the tears welling up in my eyes because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that poor little girl that's so funny and so talented and so beautiful and so amazing. So the advice is, your kids are going to screw up royally all the time. But a big part of how our children respond to what they're going through is how we respond to it. And it's really hard. The natural parent wants to react, oh my gosh, and no way, and are you crazy? And that is literally the opposite of the right way to approach that. Parents, be prepared to accept the situation 100%. That is your kid. And it's not about placing blame or fault. We made plenty of mistakes raising our kids, thousands. We still do it. I've just seen so many parents not willing to accept the situation. And they'll.
And not just addiction. You're talking about anything that's outside
Anything
of
kind of
unexpected.
drastic, kind of dramatic. Got caught sneaking out with the car and went and egged somebody's house, and you found out 3 or 4 days later, whatever. Because the reaction to these choices and these decisions has a huge impact on how they feel about themselves. And then the choices and decisions they're going to make after that. And if the parents aren't in a good place themselves, there's no way they can help their kids. And we see that a lot these days. Like, we've had people reach out to us, we've had conversations, we've had text messages, phone calls, everything. And it's obvious the parents that are unwilling to accept the situation and try and place blame
Away from their child.
or minimize the situation, or the whole that, not my kid or whatever, because they feel like, oh, that's such a reflection on me. And ultimately, it isn't a reflection on anybody, right?
That's just life.
Like, if anybody said, oh, well, why are we getting parenting advice from this couple that lost their child to addiction? I would say, go pound sand, right? Like my mom used to say, hit the silk, mister. But it is hard. And the children of parents that aren't willing to say, okay, this is our new challenge together. This is our situation together. I feel have the best chance of helping that child become healed faster. But the ones that deny it and make excuses and place blame on, yeah, but if she had better friends, or I knew that friend, right? That is literally the opposite of how it should be discussed and handled and talked about, because it's nearly impossible to help that child resolve those issues in a healthy way. Like, I don't think it's possible. So.
Well, or just ignoring if people are telling you something about your child and be like, nah,
Not my kid. Even though inside you're like, totally my kid. Right?
Well, and even just without saying something, you're letting that child kind of sit in his or her pain. You're allowing them to just figure that out without somebody who can lovingly help them through. Well, we've talked about this before. It was really hard for us in the beginning. We didn't know how to share with people when Emma went away to treatment. And, it was, oh, she's visiting family.
Right? It really wasn't all that hard.
Just start talking.
And that's when you realize you're not on an island. When we're authentically sharing with each other in life, you realize you're not alone. And that's one of the scariest things, is to feel like you are alone in this. And no one is.
Well, it's a lot like why we started this podcast. It's to help people not feel alone. Even if it's not addiction, it's something else that's big in their life. And
Yeah.
That's why we wanted to be open, and we're sharing all this stuff.
Well, and we interviewed Cameron a week ago, and he said it really, really well. I'm going to paraphrase, but how easy it is to suffer in loneliness and in darkness because you're so afraid to open up and share for fear of judgment.
How people will react.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how it's easy to be open and authentic when things are great. And it's not just the opposite. It's the opposite times 100 when things are not great, when things are really scary and hard.
Well, it's that shame. Don't you think it's, oh, I feel shame that this is happening either to my family or to me.
Yeah.
And it's hard to get past that.
Yeah.
You know, and to be like, who is it that I can trust? That's part of it as well.
And you figure, and well, and yeah. And it's also how you find out who's really in your corner.
Yeah.
There's a lot that won't understand, but those that have the empathy for you are the ones that are in your corner. And those that are a little judgmental or, one of my biggest pet peeves is there's been a few times where I have been willing to share with people and I get these responses of, oh yeah, my brother, you know, I mean, but he made his decisions, he made his choices. And I'm like, no, there's so many complicated issues and situations that go into this type of behavior. It's not just, you know, your kid made a wrong choice.
Right.
And so now they should be punished. There are deep-rooted reasons as to why.
And it's deep-rooted pain.
Yeah.
Pain.
And not so knowing how to process through trauma. And I'm just going to be really candid. This might be really hard for some people to hear. But I believe that a lot of the parents that are unwilling to accept it, it's because something happened to them in their past and they are so afraid that might come out and that might be the reason that their kid made certain choices and they do not want anybody to know that. And I think that's a big reason why parents either never embrace it or accept it or takes a long time. It's because of something horrific, like maybe they knew that they had a family member that was inappropriate with kids. And the last thing that they want to find out or get to the root of is, uh-oh, that's a possibility.
Right.
Because that is embarrassing and hard and shameful and heavy.
Mm-hmm. Very heavy.
So what else you got?
Well, we were going to talk about our other girls. How do you feel about sharing our other three girls?
Mm. They're amazing. The four of them together was special. And they were all funny together. And there was so much love between them frequently. But there were times where Emma was using and was still in that able to hide mode. And because she was such a giver of love when she was with her sisters, she was able to be their sister mm-hmm. at times. And Bella and Emma were very, very close and hilarious together. And it was really cool to watch our girls as they grew. There was a time where it was the littles, which was Sophie and Lily, because they were together all the time.
And the bigs.
And then there was, and then the bigs, and it was Emma and Bella. And then there was a time where it was the middles. And then there was a time when it was
the
bookends. And they would become drawn to each other based on age and
interests
and things like that. Yeah. And it was really fun to watch the girls pair off at times because they would just gravitate towards each other.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It still is.
So Bella is our third born, our second living, our currently oldest living now. That's weird.
It's hard to tell people.
That's weird to say.
Hey, how long have you been married? 29 years. And then how many kids? Still trying to figure out how to navigate that.
I think it's different every time.
Yeah.
Every time it's a little bit different. I never, ever say three. That pains my heart to say that. But I would often say four when Emma was here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, hey, I don't like that I'm leaving out Isabel, our stillborn. So I'm like, I'm just going to start saying five. The older two are in heaven. If it comes to that, you know,
yeah.
And sometimes you can be like, oh, ages 25 to
yeah.
19. Sometimes yeah. you can quickly go over it depending on who it is. But that's a little complicated. That's been something that's really been hard for me.
Yeah, that's not an easy road to navigate.
Because it feels
You don't want to minimize it, and you also don't want to bring too much attention to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be like, yeah, I got girls. All girls are, I don't know.
I love being a girl dad.
You're a great girl dad.
But I have a son now, and he's married to Bella.
He's married to Bella. They got married last May, so coming up on their first year.
Yeah.
Bella's also really funny.
Hilarious.
And really witty. She's really good at, she's got that from him as well. I think all of our girls are funny that way. I feel like
they're pretty funny.
They all, Bella and Emma especially.
They're quick. They were very quick-witted.
Sophie's that way as well.
Yeah.
But she is very independent and strong-willed. She's our tallest of our four girls. So she's 5'10", and the other three were around 5'4 or 5'5", which is crazy because I'm 5'7", 5'8", and you're 6'1". And it's weird that three of our girls are shorter than me.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Anyway, kind of a little fun fact. But so she lives in Utah with her husband, and she's just currently working right now. And her husband's going through medical school, or he's pre-med. It'll be a long road. So, and then there's Lily. She lives about 2.5 hours from us on the coast. And she lives with her girlfriend, Anna, who's darling and wonderful. And we love her so much.
They're so cute.
Both Anna and Dalton just fit in our family so seamlessly. It seems like they've always been there. And they go with the flow. And they're
And Anna's funny too, by the way.
She is funny.
And smart. She's going to be an attorney. So they're broke for a while.
Well, I think it's funny that Anna's a lot like me. We have a lot of the similar interests. We really, really...
100%.
Nature and hikes.
They send each other pictures of flowers as they're walking down the road. Oh, look at this tulip. Oh, it's cute. Like, oh, hey, look at the sun that came out. And there's a little bit of a rainbow. I thought you'd love that. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, you guys are creative and you guys like to make little things.
Yeah. So basically Lily ended up with me, which is kind of interesting. Isn't that interesting?
It really is. Well, who better?
Oh, babe.
It's a good thing our kids aren't going to end up with anybody like their dad.
Stop.
Wait a minute. That's a thing.
It is a thing.
Wow. Bella did not choose me.
She did not choose you.
And Lily did not choose me.
She chose me.
Sophie is probably going to choose me.
Could.
Don't you think?
She could, yeah.
Because she's an introvert a little bit.
Well, I don't think Lily's, or Sophie's an introvert.
Kind of.
She's a little more chill than the others.
She likes, independently chill.
She likes to hold stuff in. That's her youngest.
And her social battery is this big.
Maybe this big.
Mine's like this big. Hers is this big.
Yeah. And she's going to graduate this year in just a couple months, which is bizarre world. But she's also... quick-witted and
super smart, by the way.
Very smart. She's going to go to Utah.
She came to us and said, hey, I decided to go to the University of Utah. And I'm like, your grades are good enough to go to the University of Utah? She's like a 3.8 or something.
Yeah, she's doing great. So, So that's our girls in a nutshell. And
we love them.
We do love them.
Yeah, a lot.
I love you a lot.
Thank you.
He says... I think that's all we have to share today.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough couple weeks. Well, it's going to be rough in a week, I think. A week from Wednesday will be a year. And
I'm choosing to not think that it's going to be hard. Like, it probably will be, but I'm trying really hard not to think that way, whether I'm able to do it or not. But I get that that's a huge possibility.
Yeah.
So
it'll be interesting.
We're going to do our best to celebrate her and not focus on anything but just celebrating who she still is.
You know what I thought would be really cool? Besides the walk, that's kind of for me because that's so filling to me. Oh, that just literally fills my soul. It brings me so much joy. But I thought on her behalf, we could give away flowers. I think she would really like that. Maybe do kits of some sort to the homeless or something. I thought that would be... a good way to celebrate her. And
if she were here, she would say, because that's giving.
That's giving.
Exactly. It is giving.
She did like that phrase.
Okay. Families, parents, we say it every time. We mean it every time. There's always, 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 always hope.
And there's always, always help. Goodbye.
And good luck.
And as always, please like, share, and comment, and add a thumbs up on YouTube. All of these things are going to help us find other people in need of hearing this podcast. And as always, we want to take you out on a recording of Emma singing and playing the piano with a message we believe she would want you to hear.